with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, January the 5th, and the first show back of the new year, and Happy New Year to everyone out there in listener land. It's an absolute pleasure getting all in a mix. You can tell I've had a week off, can't you?
Certainly can.
I've forgotten how to do everything. An absolute pleasure to talk to you on this wet Tuesday afternoon, is what I was going to say.
Excellent.
And you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely Shirley Mansfield.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Shirley. Did you have a good Christmas?
Excellent. Nice and quiet.
What's it?
Yeah. Time to sort of sit back and reflect, catch up on some reading, all those types of things. So, yeah, pretty good.
I might get into a bit of trouble here, but I thought it was far too long.
Well, I started my Christmas on the 22nd, so it definitely was quite a long break, actually.
Yeah.
So I think everybody's good to get back to work.
It went on and on and on. I've never had so long off work in my life. I had five days off. I didn't know what to do. I was walking around going, oh, I don't like this.
I know. And the trouble was, the weather wasn't good either, was it?
No, it was horrible. Although it's the mildest Christmas since 1910, and I heard a lot of nonsense on the radio earlier about all of this, about daffodils and stuff coming out in December, which is true.
I've got them in my garden.
Yeah. But it also snowed in Egypt for the first time in like 112 years as well. And there was a fabulous picture of the pyramids covered in snow. Mm. Yeah.
I think the worrying thing is we're probably going to have snow in March or April, aren't
we? Do you know, I have a factoid about that.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do. And the factoid is this. Do you know which bank holiday is statistically the most likely to have snow?
Well, I think it's the May bank holiday.
No.
No?
No, it's Easter Monday.
Oh, okay.
Easter Monday, statistically, will have more snow than any other bank holiday in the UK, and that has always been true.
Well, there's a chance of that this year, because it's the end of March, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
Sad, isn't it? I'm looking forward to the next bank holiday.
Mm. Bit of skiing.
Well, if there was any snow, I'm quite pleased that Neville's here today to help me sort the golf out.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, that's going to be good fun.
Yeah, so let's hope he's found out something about it.
Okay.
Right, good stuff. Anyway, listen, we've got a packed line-up for you today. We've got loads of guests. I'd like to say a massive thank you to today's show sponsor. And today's show sponsor is Christchurch Canterbury University Unitemps Temporary Recruitment Agency. So a huge thank you to CCCU Unitemps. CU, Jimmy. No, they're not. No, they're in Canterbury. They're not in Glasgow. CCCU Unitemps over there at the University in Canterbury at Christchurch. So a huge thank you to them for sponsoring today's show. As I say, we've got a huge lineup of guests, and we'll introduce them as we go through. I think that's the best thing to do.
I think so.
Yeah. And as always, we'd like to hear from you, the listeners, the people out there in business land in the southeast of England. And you can get in contact with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01-303-874-998. That's 01-303-874-998. Or you can email me at bunker@kentpacificradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we have had quite a few tweets in already, but I've just received, hot off the press, an email on my little telephonic device.
Oh.
And it's an interesting one, so I thought I'd go with that, because it will give me some comedic value as well, which I'll explain in a minute. It's an email from the lovely Sarah Smith, and Sarah is from Venom Tech.
Right.
The poisonous snake and spider people over there at Discovery Park.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah says, hi, Paul. I hope all is well and you had a great Christmas and wishing you a happy new year. Thank you, Sarah. I just wanted to share with you that we have been nominated for the 2016 Biotechnology Awards.
Excellent.
Yeah. And this is where my comedic bit goes in, because Steve, the managing director, who is a member of an organisation called Scientists with Luscious Hair.
That's right.
And that is not a joke. Apparently, it is a real organisation to which he really belongs. Yeah. Steve Trim, Scientists with Luscious Hair, and the lovely Sarah and the crew from Venom Tech have been nominated for the 2016 Biotechnology Awards. And the awards is to recognise and congratulate researchers, clinicians, MDs, chemists and engineers, paving the way for others to follow, following this fascinating and vital industry. The voting is completely anonymous, and all details are about the nominee only. And Sarah's provided me a link on which we can vote.
Excellent.
Now, it's no point in me reading it out because it's far too long. So what I will do is I will put a copy of the link on the Kent Business Radio website, and you will all go in and vote for Steve to have the most luscious... No, we will vote for Steve for the Biotechnology Awards 2016.
Excellent news. Yeah. Great.
So good. Well done to Steve, Sarah and the team at Venomtech. Another Kent success story. Thank you very much. And
perfect.
Good luck.
Yes, absolutely.
Good luck.
Do we know when they'll know the result?
It doesn't say here. It probably tells you all about it if you follow the link, I would imagine. But I will put the link up on the Kent Business Radio website and you can follow that. We've had quite a few tweets as well. We've had a tweet from Fresh Acoustics. And they say, VanillaWeb, would appreciate a shout-out on the show, please, Paul. And, well, absolutely. Fresh Acoustics are a new listener and a new follower on the Twitter. And I believe, I might be making this up, I believe that they build home cinemas and sound systems and, and Sonos music systems and things like that. And they are a Kent local business. And although they do business all over the place, they are very keen to do more business locally in Kent. So thank you for that. A big shout out to Fresh Acoustics and do give them a follow on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is, in fact, Fresh Acoustics. That's handy, isn't it?
That's easy to remember.
Absolutely. We've also had a tweet from Grid RES, and I believe Grid have been on the show a while back. I think that's the right.
That might have been a Jules day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they have. Grid RES, and I think that Grid are a eco company specialising in ecosystems.
Okay. Perhaps what we need to have, a bit like Theo Pafitis does with his SBS club, is have a Business Bunker club.
Yeah.
For all the people that have been on Business Bunker.
Absolutely, yeah. And I added it up once. It's like 900 now.
I know, but we were talking about this earlier, weren't we, and saying this is year eight.
Yeah,
this is Bunker. Excellent news. Well, I've had a tweet here from Chris Pollard, who says, VanillaWeb and Coach SME, Bunker, pleasure to hear our dulcet tones today.
Thank you, Chris.
So that's nice, isn't it?
So. The old boy's looking well. He was posting new Facebook updates the other day, wasn't he? He had a new picture taken.
Oh.
He's looking good, for a man of his age, anyway.
No, still the same one on his Twitter feed. So.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Hey, get it updated, Chris.
Mm,
yeah, yeah. Definitely. He was causing a stir amongst ladies of a certain age.
Oh, was
with his
he?
Green sparkly eyes, apparently.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Not that I'm making any kind of comment on this.
I've got another one here, Paul.
Yeah, go
if
for
that
it.
That helps. Tweet from Breaker Yard. So that's at Breaker Yard, all one word, of course. They are a car and van parts location service for new and reconditioned parts. They've just tweeted in to say Happy New Year.
Oh, fantastic.
Excellent news.
Thank you for that.
Yep.
And Happy New Year to you too. Right, I've got, we do social media.
Mm.
Hi, Paul, would be great if you gave us a mention on the show. Thank you. We do social media. We manage your social media for you. I kind of guess it does what it says on the tin, really.
Yeah. Good name, that one.
Absolutely. I know how they thought of that.
Mm.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
We do social media.
Absolutely.
I wonder what we'll call ourselves. We do social media.
Yes.
you can follow them on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is we do S. Media.
All right. Okay.
Because obviously
good.
It doesn't all fit.
No, that's right. That's right. I've got another one here from Laura Burton Lawrence. Laura and the Barrister Broker, so at Barrister Broker, really pleased to have us back on air. And we have been missed.
Well, oh, thank you,
perhaps
Laura.
Not me, but you certainly have been missed.
Well, no, that's all of us, isn't it? I mean, it's the whole team, the whole crew.
That's right.
And Jules will be back sometime, but obviously it's been Christmas, so she's going to have a hangover for a couple of weeks. she'll be back. And if anybody follows Jules, I mean, it was her Christmas Twitter feed was just one long sequence of half-empty bottles, basically. And I hope you're feeling
all right, Jules.
Yeah, and a few birds of the unfeathered any longer variety in various states of preparation that didn't quite make it. And that was about it, really. we've had a tweet from the lovely Samantha Bowen. And she says, VanillaWeb, that's me. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to the Business Bunker. Hope 2016 is successful for everyone. And her business, Hippos, is shortlisted for the Prima Baby Awards. Let me tell you briefly about this, because Sam has actually been on the show and talked about her company and her products, which are really interesting, and this is niche marketing at its finest. Sam has a young baby. Actually, she's probably grown up now, but
probably.
she had a young baby that had problems, and I don't know the technical term for the medical condition that she had, but it gives a problem with hips.
Oh, right, yes.
And legs, okay. And as a baby, that was incredibly difficult to deal with. And Sam invented a line of clothing that fitted babies and toddlers that have this condition.
Excellent.
And she came up with, it's another fabulous name, Hippos. Yeah, Hippos. And she has been nominated for another award for her fabulous products, and quite right too. And you can follow Sam on the Twitter at Hippos Limited. That's HIPPOSELTD. Hippos with an E, LTD. So congratulations, Sam. She has won some awards in the past, which is not a surprise.
No.
She has. She sells her products online, and she sells them all over the world.
Fantastic.
Into a niche market, but it's a global niche market. Mm. And what a fantastic way to make something out of adversity.
Yes, absolutely. Every cloud and all that.
Absolutely. Mm. I tell you what, Shirley, do you want to go with an email?
Yes, okay. Let's start off with another one about awards, seeing as that seems to be the theme so far. So why not shout about your awards? Why not shout out about your business and try for a well-deserved award? It's the Business Excellence in Kent, which is being run by Kent and Victor Chamber.
Right, okay.
Entering these awards can give you the chance to show your clients, customers and competitors, especially your competitors, just how successful you are. It obviously offers invaluable promotional opportunities, powerful PR and a marketing tool, certainly recognition throughout the county, and also it does give the staff a boost of morale boost, I should say, when obviously companies are entered for awards. And if you win, you get an engraved glass trophy.
Wow.
So winners of the Chamber Awards 2016 will be announced at a gala dinner, which will be held at Canterbury Cathedral Lodge on Thursday the 17th of March. I'm feeling that's St Patrick's Day.
It is indeed.
Mm.
That could get messy, couldn't it?
It could, couldn't it? So Canterbury Cathedral Lodge, Thursday the 17th. So full details are on the Invicta Chamber website. And if you go to their site, you should see a link there ready to click you through for those awards.
Fantastic.
Good luck.
Well, yeah, while we're on awards, we'll do this one as well. We'll get all the awards out in one go, shall we?
Okay.
It's the Kent Women in Business Awards again. And the nominations are open in a number of categories for Kent Women in Business. And it's the fourth already. That's gone quickly since Hillary, Sue and the team started this. On the 11th of March, there will be a black tie celebration party. And they're always a real crack. They are. I've been to the last three. Yeah, I'm still recovering from the last one.
Yeah, Patrick's Day.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Hey, it's the highlight of my social year. That me and 400 business women. you can nominate people for the Kent Women in Business Awards by going to the following website: KWIB Awards, Quib Awards, quibawards.co.uk/nominate. And there is a link on the community pages of the Kent Business Radio website. Go through, nominate someone. There's loads of different categories that you nominate people in. It's a fabulous award ceremony. And this year, Kent Women in Business is actually sponsored by the Federation of Small Business Kent and Medway.
Excellent.
So, fantastic stuff.
Mm.
Good, good, good. I think, Shirley, we can do one more, and then we'll have a break for some tunage.
Okay, all right. Let's have a look at research and development tax relief. Be nice to get some money, wouldn't it? So HMRC has announced a two-year plan to increase the take-up of research and development tax credits or tax relief among small firms. Measures will focus primarily on increasing awareness and making it easier for firms to apply for this type of tax relief. For example, HMRC will publish improved guidance that's going to help increase firms' understanding of the R&D tax relief and provide business certainty through the Advanced Assurance Scheme. So under the Advance Assurance Scheme, which was launched in November last year now, I can say that, can't I, November 15 last year, HMRC is going to assure eligible firms that their first 3 years of R&D tax relief claims will be allowed without inquiry. Now, there's some more information for that, but you need to go to www.gov.uk/government-news-boost-for-small-businesses as government launches RD plan. That's cool, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
I would think go to gov.uk and search for R&D tax credits, and that should bring that those details up. But that's great news.
It is, and I just want to say something about that, because so many businesses say, oh, no, well, it doesn't apply to me. It does.
It
really
to...
does. You would be absolutely amazed what you can claim for. And if you're not happy, there are reputable companies such as Rift R&D Tax Credits and some others that will help you do the process. It is very worthwhile. And the other thing to bear in mind is when you are successful with the claim, it is not removed from your tax bill. They send you real hard cash.
Money.
They send you money. Mm.
I have to say... lots of people moan about HMRC, but that is just the most fantastic scheme.
Yeah.
Having worked with loads of startups, particularly over the last 5-6 years, it's been a great funding vehicle for lots and lots of businesses.
Absolutely. It's one of the few things that government have done that they've got right in terms of being controversial there. I don't care. That have helped businesses get off the ground and to innovate. And really, that's where we need to be. We need to be innovating in all kinds of fields. It isn't just technology. You'd be amazed. There's food technology. There's all kinds of things that you can get R&D tax credits for. So do have a look at that.
Yep.
It is highly worthwhile. Even if you don't think that you've done anything innovative, you'd be surprised. Do you know what we're going to do now, Shel?
Well, you're going to stop calling me Cheryl.
I know, I did that just to be
annoying. I know, you did that, didn't you? And I thought you had a New Year's resolution. But never mind. Hopefully we're going to play some music.
We are indeed.
Rift Accounting. The accountants of tomorrow, today. RiftAccounting.com.
JobsInKent.com.
SupplyMyBusiness.co.uk. Find suppliers and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, January the 5th, 2016, with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Shirley Mansfield. That was the boys are back in town. I don't know how I thought of that.
Well, we're back.
Cheesy, we're back.
I know.
There's more girls than boys. Oh, no, we're
50-50
today. 50-50 today, girls and boys. Yeah. We've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Fruitworks, so I'm glad to see they're working. And they go, hi, Shirley, hi, Paul. Could we have a shout-out for Canterbury's growing community workspace, please? We've got big plans for 2016.
Exciting plans.
Have indeed.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I bet lots of people have got lots of plans for this year.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, the things have been going reasonably well in the economy for businesses, at least. Let's hope that we build on that and continue with that in the same way that we were going in 2015 for the most part.
I think so. There seems to be a lot of positivity out there, which is good.
Yeah, there is. I mean, as always, it can be derailed by stupid political decisions, but, you know, we live with those.
We do. We have to, unfortunately.
Yeah. But so far, so good. And you're quite right, Shirley. I've talked to quite a few people just recently that have quite a few plans for different things and new businesses and new kind of products in their product line and so on. So
I think
that's
the interesting thing is as I was tweeting out yesterday saying, what is everybody going to do differently? And people are looking to do some different things.
Absolutely,
so it's good. Do something different and make money.
Absolutely. That would be really different, wouldn't it? Do something different and actually make some money.
Make some money, absolutely.
That would be novel.
Make some money and collect your R&D tax credits.
Exactly, yeah.
Good.
We've had a tweet from Cars from Kent as well, and they say, Happy New Year, Business Bunker, Shirley and Paul. Could we have a shout-out, please, for carsfromkent.com?
Well, shout
consider yourself shouted out. There you go.
Yes, exactly. I've got a tweet here from Martin at Supply My Business. Mm-hmm. So, Paul and Shirley, Happy New Year to you both and to all of the Business Bunker listeners.
Right. Thank you, Martin. Mm-hmm. Happy New Year.
Excellent.
I've got an interesting tweet here from a lady called Kerry Walker. That's Kerry, K-E-R-R-I. And she says, Vanilla Web, I manage a small business PR and marketing company. And I show you how to... I either do the PR and marketing for you, or I show you how to do a DIY operation yourself.
Oh.
And she said, I'm based in the New Forest, but I've just moved to Canterbury. And I'm going to get involved with Fruitworks and the Business Bunker Show.
Excellent.
So that's lovely.
That's good.
So welcome to Kent, Kerry.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for bringing your business to Kent in particular and Canterbury specifically. And welcome to the Business Bunker Show. And that's a big shout out for Kerry Walker. And you can follow the lovely Kerry on the Twitter at Kerry L Walker. And that's Kerry spelled K-E-R-R-I-L. W-A-L-K-E-R, Kerry L. Walker. Do give her a follow on the Twitter, everyone.
That's excellent. And she meets some really good people at Fruitworks, too.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. There's also some dodgy ones, but, we're ignored them.
Mm. Well, Kerry, if you're listening, keep listening, because I've got some more networking events coming up, which you might be interested in.
I'm just working my way through Neville's tweets. With his pictures of hooks and slices and stuff, which are a bit annoying on my Twitter feed.
I wonder if he's got a banana on there as well.
I'm sure he has. I'm sure he has somewhere. I'm trying to avoid them. So I'll tell you what the easiest thing to do, rather than look at his silly tweets with his silly pictures in them, why don't we talk to the lovely Neville Gault. Neville, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you back, mate. Mind Fit Golf and all that.
You have to say that, don't you, Paul?
I do,
yeah. Well, Happy New Year to you.
And you.
Great to see you again, Shirley. Happy New Year to you.
And you.
To all the listeners. Mm. So
both of them.
All two of them. Yeah. And let's hope you do something different this year. Because if you don't do something different, you'll end up getting the same results you got previously.
Exactly.
So there you go. So, Paul, are you mind fit for golf?
Shirley's not. I like to think I'm mind fit. Golf is something that escapes me. I'm not a golfer at all. But go on, go for it.
Well, the thing is, your mind fit. That's the main thing. And
that's just my opinion, though.
I think a lot of people might agree with that. But so, Shirley, are you mind fit for golf?
Well, I'd like to think I was, but my handicap would say I'm not.
Ah, right. So what is your handicap, then?
I'm playoff 16.
Oh, that's not too bad.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. That probably puts you in the top 3% of the world.
She's showing off. She's showing off.
Top 3% of the
world. Probably in the top 3% of the world. Yeah. You'd be quite surprised. So here's a couple of questions for you. So over the last 60 years...
She's not that old, mate.
Over the last 60 years, questions for you. I said generally you. Here we go. Keep it. It's a family show. Right. Do you think the average handicap has gone up, down, or stayed the same?
Down. Do you want to answer?
I think down.
I think it's gone up.
Well, we got. You don't get anything for a pair, not in this game, as they say. So, Paul, you say think it's gone down?
Yeah.
Okay. So, why do you think it's gone down?
I think handicap's gone down probably because of the advent of technology. Superior equipment has enabled people to lower their handicaps.
Now, you see, there's a person that doesn't play golf.
Well, that's it. But I have to say, it's quite a good answer.
It's a great answer because he's actually engaged his brain and started to think.
It's quite rare, isn't it?
Okay, well, we won't go to you, Shirley, but if I were to tell you the average handicap hasn't moved at all, despite the fact technology's improved...
A bit like my golf balls, then.
We don't want to talk about your balls, Paul. Despite the fact technology's improved, golf coaching has improved, the courses have improved, and, you know, people actually do buy decent golf equipment. So isn't that a bit bizarre?
Well, I know that when my game is going well, it probably has nothing to do with the technology. It's probably more about what's going on between my two ears.
And in this show, it's great because you can't... we've all got faces for radio here because you've got earphones on everybody and it's actually what's happening in between the 5 inches between your ears.
Yeah.
So it really is about your mindset. And you can't go anywhere these days without listening to... If you look at sport in any shape or form, rugby, football, cricket, golf, tennis, even Andy Murray's talking about mindset. You know, Mr. Boring is talking about mindset. So it really is about getting the right mindset. So the issue is, how do you get it?
And it's not just about sport, though, is it, Neville? I mean, this is something that is relevant in any field of activity, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's this big discussion in education currently that we're probably going back to when I sat my O-levels, probably about 20 years before you sat yours, Paul. But there was a laugh there, I think. So we're actually going back into passing tests, whereas businesses are crying out for people that are applying their knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've got this huge gap in the mind fit arena. We always talk about this knowing doing gap. So the fact that people are going to do something different this year is really great because doing something different actually gives you an opportunity to find out if it's the water's fine, come in and do a little bit more different.
Absolutely. I want to kind of broaden this out. I know you want to talk about golf and sport and stuff like that, but
should
this
we
is
just talk about golf?
Yeah, we will.
We'll interrupt in a minute. Let him go.
Just because this is a bunker, we don't. Did you get it? Just because this is a bunker, we don't have to stay in it.
I try not to go in it at all.
Yeah, we could take a sandwich to this and get out of this bunker and.
Careful.
But I'm interested in this whole field of how you think about things because it has such a massive impact on everything that we do and how we do it and what we do, and it's one of those things that lots of people talk about it. Lots of people talk about mindset and attitude and all those kind of things, and most people go, "Yep, no, I agree." But I'm not entirely sure that anybody has much of a clue how to actually do it, or more importantly, how to change their circumstances. It's really difficult when you get locked into a thinking pattern, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you've got the Edward de Bono stuff about thinking outside the box. But be honest with you, you've got to do more than that these days. You've actually got to engage your brain.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds a little funny in some respects because our brain is already engaged because I'm breathing.
Right.
Blood's going around my body. You know, I'm sitting down, I'm concentrating, I'm talking. There's a lot of stuff already going on in the brain that I'm actually not in control of. Although a lot of athletes can actually say I can take my heartbeat down.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's when you get really good at it, you know.
Yeah.
So that means you need to know what is actually happening.
Okay.
But until you know what's happening, how do you know whether it's a good thing that's happening or a bad thing that's happening?
Yeah.
So it really falls back into the attitude side of life.
Yeah.
So how do you get that attitude?
Mm.
And a lot of people ask these questions. That's why it ends up being a tree-hugging conversation, you know. You'll think you know, you need to go into huddle and, you know, big love mode and, you know,
kind of team. I'm up for that.
Well, you know, yeah, we've been there before, but we won't go back. We won't go.
I wasn't looking at you.
I was thinking about your tutu, but there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, damn. I wondered how long it was going to be before it came out. Yeah.
Well, it's the 5th of January, so what do you expect?
My New Year's resolution was not to mention it.
Oh, well.
Until February, at least. Yes. Yeah.
So that's the fiver she owes me because I told her I'd mention it, but there you go. So you've actually got to go back to where does it all, how do you get this soft skill, really?
Yeah.
And the point is we don't teach it. Mm. We just assume it happens. So to get the soft skill, you've actually got to go and practice it.
Mm.
So if we can step back into golf for a minute, because all of the skill set that you generate about the right mindset for golf is actually the right mindset for an entrepreneur.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's having the confidence. It's being committed. You know, we talk about commitment being an on-off switch, not a dimmer.
Yeah.
You're either committed or you're not.
Yep. Mm.
You know, so all these people that talk about, well, I'm 90%, well, fine. Wait till you're 100 and come back, you know. And you get youngsters talk about that commitment.
Yeah.
So are you focused? So, Shirley, you're a golfer.
Yep.
What's the most important part about golf?
The bar.
19th hole, yes. For me, it's about winning.
Ah.
For me.
So you're focused on winning.
Yeah. I play a lot
at any cost.
No, not at any cost. Winning the right way. But I play quite a lot of match play golf, play a lot of competitive golf on that basis. So for me, it's either about beating my opponent, but actually, even when I'm going out just for a knock around, it's about beating the course.
And
for me.
That's great, because there's no point in beating your opponent.
No, but quite often I can get to the third hole and then beat myself up.
Yeah, it's funny,
because
actually.
Because it's all sort of gone a bit pear-shaped.
Yeah, and do you recover after that?
I have to say, for me, I generally have to take myself off for a hole or two and give myself a talking to, and then it might come back. But that's all about the mindset. And I know that actually the more agitated I get, the faster I'm going to swing the golf ball, and it's not going to go anywhere.
You see, that's interesting, because a lot of golfers will say the same.
Mm.
So if there are any golfers listening here, if you can imagine the worst hole you've ever played, and you play it regularly because you are a regular golfer, what's going through your mind when you walk up to that hole, let alone get to it?
Well, actually, my golfing buddy Debs, if she was listening to this now, she'd be dreading me saying this, but every time we walk to the eighth tee, she says, oh, my God, it's that hole again. I can't stand that tree. Mm. I know I'm going to hit it in the field. And what does she do? She hits it straight in the field.
Mm. It's amazing, because we expect something's going to happen the same as happened last time, despite the fact that that swing is completely different.
Mm. Yep.
So we talked about doing something different previously, and unless you're a really good golfer, your swing is different every time.
Yes, I do have rounds where I have 18 different drives.
Do you play on the same course, or do you?
No, but, you know, I could stand on, you know, three or four different par fives, and the swing is completely different. You know, one will go right, one will go left, one might go straight.
Now, that's an interesting one. It'll go left, right, and straight.
Yes.
So let's think about a game of golf now.
Right.
All right. So imagine you're an entrepreneur and you're really focused upon what's going to happen to your business if you really focus on the one thing, okay? Mm-hmm. So as a golfer, what do you need to be focused on?
Me?
Yeah.
Personally, the way I swing the golf ball, I have to keep my head still.
Keep your head still.
As I'm coming through the ball.
Right. Do you know there's no science about keeping your head still and hitting the ball perfectly?
Probably not, no.
No, well, it's not probably. There is no science.
Most of the time it works for me.
But that's the thing, you see, we get into these beliefs.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you do you know, by keeping your head straight, you can actually try a really simple, you don't have to buy all this inspective kit. Get a golf cap.
Yes.
Get a bulldog clip.
Right.
an entire ball on the end of a piece of string.
Yes, on a peak.
Yeah, and take a swing, and you see whether that ball stays straight. And the thing is, it won't, because your head will move.
Yeah.
And it's all perspective stuff.
Yeah.
But when you then take that swing, has that ball moved before you've hit it?
What, my golf ball? No. Well, it shouldn't
It's funny, isn't it? It's pretty honest, a golf ball, isn't it? It'll only do what you tell it to do.
Yeah.
And the only time you tell it to do something is when?
It's when you hit it.
When you actually hit it. Mm. So when you're swinging a club at faster than you can legally drive, because the laws of physics are perfect, the club hitting the ball has now given it kinetic energy.
Yes.
So your club has lost energy.
Yes.
So the ball is now moving faster than the club.
Yes.
So that's the only time you're going to give knowledge to that ball.
Right, yep.
So why do people shout at it when they see it going to the left or to the right?
But you have to talk to it.
Do you?
You do.
Does it make any difference?
It does. It does when you say, get over that bunker, get over the bunker, over. It works.
But it's not doing anybody any good because the ball's gone.
I know.
And it's funny, you know, by obeying the laws of physics, okay, so you're a golfer, aren't you, you know? So when you hit the ball on the left, where does it go?
When I hit the ball, well, on the left of the ball, it probably goes right.
It doesn't probably, it always goes right.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. So when you hit the ball on the right, where does it go?
Goes left.
Yeah, it obeys the laws of physics. Yeah. So when you hit it somewhere in between, where's it likely to go?
Behind
you.
You see, we're going back to this I know, Paul. Do you remember you said about people just nod about having the right mindset?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because in terms of changing your mindset, you get into this rut, these patterns of behaviour, where you do things and you know logically that it doesn't do anything. And you know, it's one of those things. We can all sit here and laugh and think about people, you know, screaming at their ball or, you know, talk it in or, you know, and I always think about curling and stuff like that. People that run behind the stone, you know, swishing about, and you think, well, that's going to do nothing. But it's interesting, isn't it? And I can't remember the saying, but the task here is to make something become a habit that you don't think about. And that's what really you're talking about with professional golfers. It isn't adopting the swing of a professional golfer. A professional golfer will play golf however they play, and it will work, and it will work every time because they're consistent.
Yeah.
And they've got into a habit of play. And I saw something once about mental attitudes that says the problem here, the thing about changing, is you start off as an unconscious incompetent. Yeah. And the first step is to become a conscious incompetent, and then you move forward from there until you become a competently conscious, and then you become competently unconscious. And being competently unconscious is the ultimate goal.
Well done.
Absolutely right. I couldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I don't think I did either.
Well, it sounded okay.
Yeah.
But it's got there in the end. Yeah. The interesting thing, we all drove here today, didn't we? Yes. Do you remember driving?
Yeah.
No. We've become consciously incompetent or unconsciously competent? Unconsciously competent.
Unconsciously competent.
So we can all do it.
Yeah. Yes.
So we all learnt how to walk. Yeah. We didn't read a book. Yeah. We didn't go to university.
Yeah.
You know, we were encouraged and nurtured. You know, earlier before the show, we were talking about engaging people. Well, that's a leadership issue. It's not about the individual.
Yeah.
The individual's got to be committed, but the leaders get engagement.
Yeah.
I think one of the interesting things that which has just triggered with you talking, is actually I can make my golf swing really complicated. But in actual fact, what I need to do and what business owners need to do is actually get back and keep it simple.
Mm.
It's up, down, through the ball, off it goes.
Mm.
And actually businesses tend to make their businesses so complex, just like I do with my golf swing. You know, I'm just thinking about the way that I set up, the number of practice swings I have, and I don't know, all the stuff that I wiggle my hips and, you know, keep my head still and all that sort of stuff. And if I just stood there
and he's not playing golf,
I do that at work. I wiggle my hips and go, get in, but I'm not talking golf.
What's that, to the tutu?
Yeah.
But it is right, we do overcomplicate it because we think we have to.
Yeah.
But if you keep things simple, you know, give a bat and a ball. Doesn't matter whether it's a golf club or a cricket bat or a baseball bat, a rounders bat, to a 3-year-old.
Mm.
see what they do with it. Mm. They have fun. Yeah. They recognise, hopefully most of them recognise that you hit the ball with a bat, but sometimes you see it the other way round.
Yes.
They may not have the bat upside the right way.
No. Mm.
It doesn't matter.
Just making contact.
The point is having fun.
Yeah.
So if you have fun, you know, someone said, you know, the business you're having the most fun is the one you're not doing business in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
you don't recognise it.
No, exactly.
And that's what we've actually got to put that back into it. And it's anything we do. So are you mind fit for ...?
Absolutely. Yeah. Neville, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. Mm. Give us a shout out for how people can find out more about the whole MindFit thing, not just with golf, but with all kinds of things as well.
Well, Paul very kindly put a blog on Business Bunker Show.
I did indeed.
That's more or less the majority of chapter 6 of the book we said we'd never write, but we decided to write.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So is your mind for the golf, the missing link to your success, which is the 5 inches between you, of course. And it is on the Business Bunker, so have a look there. We mostly around Kent, but you'll hear us from time to time getting involved in most of the larger businesses. Mm. But if I can leave everyone with a simple thing, right, Nike said, just do it.
Mm. They did.
So do it.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice one. Thank you, Nev. As Neville said, you can find it's MindFit on the blog section of the Kent Business Radio website. There are links to Neville's website, and you can also follow Neville on Twitter at MindFit Golf. So, Neville, thank you so much for that. Absolute
yes,
pleasure to talk
thank
to you,
you
again.
Very much.
It's a subject that we could talk about forever and ever and ever, but sadly kind of short of time at the moment. But nice one. Do you know what? I think you can do an email, and
can
then
I?
We'll talk to our next guest.
Yeah? Fabulous. Yeah. Okay, right. This is from Kent and Victor Chamber, some breakfast networking dates for you. So starting next week, Thursday the 14th of January at Sun Pier House at Chatham, then the following Thursday the 21st at the Marlowe Theatre in Canterbury, then the 28th, which is a Thursday, Base Point Centre at Folkestone. Why did I say Ashford? Folkestone. Thursday, the 11th of February at Chilston Park Hotel at Maidstone. Thursday, the 18th of February at Spitfire Ground, Canterbury. And here comes the Ashford one, which is at the Rare Breed Centre on Tuesday, the 23rd of February.
Fantastic.
So that's for Chamber members, £15, non-members, £20, 8 a.m. till 9:30. Full details on Kent and Victor Chamber website.
Fantastic, thank you for that. We've had a tweet from the lovely Claire Reeves, and she says, hi Vanilla Web, could we have a shout out please? Lots of businesses using my voice to help them stand out today. Corporate film, exhibitions, etc, etc. Claire is a voiceover artist based in Hive, just around the corner here, and you can follow Claire on the Twitter at Claire on Air Live. That's her Twitter handle, and that's Claire spelt C-L-A-R-E. Claire on Air Live, and you will know Claire's dulcet tones because she voiced most of our adverts that you hear. Mm. So that is indeed Claire that you're listening to. So do give Claire a follow on the Twitter and talk to her if you have any voice needs. Right, it's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our second guests onto today's Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Alison and Liz of Red Rocket Associates. Ladies, welcome.
Hello.
Pleasure to see you both.
Good afternoon, it's good to be here.
Yeah, it is. It's better to be in here than out there. If you've looked out the window just recently, it's getting worse and worse and worse out there, weather-wise. But it's lovely to see you guys here. Thank you for joining us. Why don't you start off by telling the listener a little bit about Red Rocket Associates.
Okay, we'll do. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. It's really great to be here. Red Rocket Associates, we met through the famous networking, as you do. A friend of a friend introduced me to another lady. That was almost 2 years ago, back in spring 2014. And so we're only a really young organisation, but we were five separate businesses who came together, as I say, through this networking event. Somebody that I was talking to, passionate about a subject, said, oh, you must meet a friend of mine. She's also really, really keen on this subject. And we are a personal development coaching and training business, getting productivity, growth, and ultimately profit up in your organisation. Productivity for yourself, if it's a personal thing, because we deal with individuals as well as organisations.
Fantastic. Right. Let's dive straight in there. One of the things, one of the many things I love about you lovely ladies is that you are a 21st century business. You're a collaborative business.
Oh, yes.
And collaboration is one of those things that more and more people have started to understand and see is a phenomena of the business and the community that has become more and more to the fore. The 20th century, in my opinion, was a century of competition. Yeah. And the 21st century is a century of collaboration. And you guys are the living epitome of that. Five separate businesses that come together in a loose association to bring things, develop things, to work with each other and to move things forward. And I love that. It's a great way forward. When you finish your bit, I want to talk a little bit about it and about where we're going with things like this, because it's one of the things that we kind of looked at. So I love the fact that you're a collaborative business.
Yes.
Despite the fact that you're also doing interesting stuff.
Yes, yes.
Well, so let's concentrate now a little bit on the stuff, what you do. Liz.
Yeah, certainly. So we are passionately interested in people in the workplace.
Right.
So whether it's people preparing for the workplace, so young people in schools, whether it is people in the workplace. And we are running a project at the moment around employability. And as Neville said, this is really all about leadership and creating environments and cultures within organisations to bring the best out of people and to get them engaged. And we're also interested in people transitioning in and out of the workplace.
Yeah.
So the common denominator, I suppose, of our business is people.
Yeah. It's interesting. Sorry to interrupt, but I'm fascinated by this as well. And it always gets me. We were talking with Neville about top sports people, and you get people in the media and stuff like that. And the interesting thing about all of them is they're all absolutely at the top of their field, but every single one of them has a coach and a supporter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the rest of us go, do you know what? Nah, I don't need that. Nah. Are you being successful? Nah.
I think when Neville was talking, I was thinking, the coach, the role of the coach.
Yeah.
Because we all begin to recognise those behaviours and attitudes that we have that are maybe self-defeating. But sometimes, if actually more often, we need that external person to help us identify those beliefs and help us work through strategies to change those beliefs. I mean, one thing that I suppose is that the heart rock of Red Rocket is that we believe in change.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, change happens. People can change. People do change. And that's what exciting about working with people.
I don't want to get on, because I can get on a big soapboxy rant about this. Believe me. It's
you and me together.
Yeah. It's one of the things I'm really passionate about. And people in politics, people in all walks of life just do not seem to be able to take this on board, that the whole of life is about evolution. Yeah, and evolution is about change.
Absolutely.
You can't stop it. You can't hold it back. We are just a few hundred yards from Westernhanger Castle, the original home of King Canute, who tried to prove 2,000 years ago that even the most powerful man in Europe cannot stop the tides of change by using a metaphor of sitting on a beach and commanding the sea not to come in. Mm-hmm. Yet still, 2,000 years later, people still won't accept that change is endemic and happens, and you cannot stop it. And therefore, the best way of dealing with it is to embrace it and to make it happen to your own ends.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry about that. I just needed to tell you that. But it's a process of evolution, and we need to look at it. So let's kind of explore some of the things that you guys think are important now in terms of the workplace, and both those new or about to come into it, those in it, and those exiting it. Let's look at those three issues.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I suppose I just wanted to pick up on this habit thing, and Neville referred to it earlier on. I read a brilliant book, I think it was by Charles Duhigg, and apologies if that's not how you say his surname, but it's called The Power of Habit, and it's fantastic. It tells a really powerful story about a guy who, through dementia, couldn't do his carers assumed normal everyday things, and yet he used to take himself on a walk and he could find his way back home. They never realised how did he do it. And it's the power of the brain and habits that you form. So form good habits, and that leads me into the power of coaching and where a coach can really help. And one of the things that we see in the work that we do is when you bring an external perspective to an individual or an organisation, they can help you to see habits which are not great for what you want to do.
Yeah.
The habits which won't help you change, but also those habits that can help you change, and then they provide methods for you to embed those habits.
Absolutely. It's actually an it's exactly as Neville was saying, it's a very simple process here. We all know, I mean, we're now at the first week in January, and a lot of us, not you ladies, but a lot of us now are going, uh-oh, I ate too much, I've got stones to shift. There isn't a single, despite the entire diet industry, there can't be a single person on the planet that doesn't know that there's only one way to lose weight, and that's to consume less calories and move more. And every single person on the planet knows that, yet we, every year we struggle to do it, and it's because of habit, isn't it? You get used to eating chockies and you get used to eating cake and your brain won't let you stop, even though you know you shouldn't do this.
Absolutely.
There's been some fantastic research about the problem with goals. We can all set goals. We're really great at setting
goals.
Our
New Year's resolutions.
We write them down. We do all sorts of things. There's been some fantastic research on really what's more important is planning your intention to fulfill that goal. And if we can think about, so, you know, we want to eat less, then it's about planning how am I going to
eat less.
Less.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the key. It's the intention, the planning for the intention. There's some fabulous work, some really basic research on just asking people to list or write about how they intend to do something.
Yeah.
And that shows greater results than people just actually saying, this is my goal for the year.
Mm. Absolutely.
But it takes work, doesn't it? And it takes being accountable to someone like a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the key thing, isn't it? Is having someone there to put you back on the straight and narrow when your brain tries to take you off of it.
Yeah.
Because you do that. You go, oh, you know, my goal is to lose a stone. Right. I think I'll have a cup of tea and a biscuit while I sit down and think about it. I'm going to do that. Of course, it is annoying if you've got another half that goes, I thought you were on a diet, you're just eating a biscuit.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know.
But, the power of encouragement.
Exactly. But it's interesting because although we're being trivial about it, actually it all comes down to that, doesn't it? Anything that you want to achieve isn't... Again, another one of my rants is I have no interest in goals at all. And as an entrepreneur, loads of people say to me all the time, oh, well, you know, you must be goal orientated. Nope, don't believe in them at all. And there are particular reasons why I don't have goals, which I won't bore you with now. But not least of which, it doesn't work. Just having a goal doesn't work.
No.
It's the actions that you take every day that make things happen. And during the course of those actions, you might choose to do something different because new information comes to you that kind of sends you off in another direction, which is my view on it. But how do we change these habits? You know, what is the way we do this? It's so frustrating, isn't it? Because we all recognise that we need to do something different, but people won't. I don't want to take up your time because it's you guys that are telling me, but I did get into trouble when I was a very young man. Somebody stupidly made me a very senior member of the management team of a very large bank when I was still basically a teenager. And I went to a board meeting where there was a guy that had been around an awful long time. He was an executive senior vice president. And I was trying to talk to him about computer technology. And this was a long time ago. And he was telling me that it was pointless. And he said to me, listen, son, I've got 35 years experience in banking. And I went, well, actually, I don't think you have. What you've actually got is 1 year's experience repeated 35 times. And he wasn't happy about that.
That's a great phrase.
You know,
I'm going to use that one.
but you know, the point is that an awful lot of us do that. We do the same thing over and over and over again, and we think that passes for experience, and it isn't. It's just time, and we're just doing the same thing over and over again. What we need to do is embrace change.
Absolutely.
So, from your guys' point of view, what kind of approaches are you taking to this? How can you help me make the changes that I need to make?
Well, we offer a number of services, so consultancy to business around helping them to examine how engaged their their employees are, and then also working collaboratively, not telling business owners how they need to improve that, but working collaboratively with those business owners to maybe put in some communication workshops. But what we like to do very much is make those workshops experiential, because something you hold on to, your brain holds on to experiences far stronger than being told or reading. So we try to make things as experiential as possible, but also make it quite explicit how this then translates into the workplace.
Right.
So the communication is a recent example of an organisation that was having difficulty communicating between departments and with outside organisations. So we get them together, identify the problems, talk openly, communicate well about what the problem is, and then come
it's
up with solutions.
It's if it wasn't
there.
For you, I'd
no,
be
it's
fine.
Always, it's always the person that didn't come to the training.
Exactly.
But we also work one-to-one coaching. My particular passion and I suppose specialism is around career and career development and helping people work through those self-defeating beliefs that they might have. And it's first of all about identifying those beliefs, helping people do that. But there are tips and techniques. A really quick tip and technique for the new year is my power of three. So often we get told, right, you must think positive. So think about three good things that happened to you today. I like to put a bit of a spin on that and ask people to think about three good things that happened today because you did something.
Right.
You know, so you're thinking about the consequence. And the more you begin to think that way, the more you start promoting that in yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, well, yeah, I'm going to lose weight because actually I didn't have, the good thing was I didn't have that chocolate bar.
Yeah.
You know, a good thing that happened to you today is not that the sun shone. You didn't have any control over that.
Absolutely. Interestingly, and you probably both, I'm pointing at Neville and the ladies here, because you're both in the same field here.
Paul,
and
you probably just have to let you know, we're on radio, not on TV.
No, I know. I've forgotten what I was going to say now.
I know, sorry.
No. This whole field about the way that we think and how we do things and how we address these kind of things. Many years ago, I wrote a book called How to Give Up Smoking the Easy Way by Alan Carr. Have you come across it?
No.
Yeah. It is one of the most powerful books that there is, because it kind of uses these mind techniques. Mm-hmm. And the opening thing is he says in the book, do not use chewing gum. Don't do this, don't do that, because all you're doing is substituting one thing for another, and you're not changing the habit.
Absolutely.
You're just substituting one thing for another. Mm. And you also can't think in a negative way. So you can't think, I need to give up smoking, because your brain doesn't handle negatives, So his whole thing was, you have to think about becoming a healthy non-smoker. And that works with it works with everything else. And it's basically what you were saying, Liz, isn't it? It's having a thought in your mind that says, how do I take steps to the goal that I wanted to achieve? What are the things I need to do? And what's going to be happening when I'm getting that? And if we keep saying, I need it to be different, or I need to change, or I need to do this, it's never going to work, because your brain can't cope with anything like that. You need to have this mental picture of where you want to be and how you're going to be it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you're working with young people or people maybe that are in a rut in their career, it's about developing a story about a potential career future.
Yeah.
You know, what is that career going to look like? What are you going to earn? Where are you going to be? What are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
And until you can, if you like, visualize or understand that potential story, then you can't write the plot. You can't write the narrative.
It's an evolutionary process, isn't it? I spend so much of my life telling people this. You might hate me for this, but it drives me nuts. I cannot abide people that keep saying, find something you love and do it. Work doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work like that.
It does not work like that. You get a job because nobody wants to do it because it's horrible. That's why you get a job. And even jobs that you think are brilliant, like being a professional footballer, if you are a professional footballer, it isn't that brilliant. You have to train every single day. You have to give up loads of things in order to be good at it. Mm. You know, there's always a downside to everything. And one of the problems that that's caused, in my humble opinion, is now people are sitting there not doing anything, waiting for the perfect thing to arrive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the issues with that is what how we think about career. We think we use metaphors like ladder and mountain as if somewhere or other X is going to mark the spot.
Exactly.
I think it's much better to think about career or my, again, in my humble opinion, to think about a career as in terms of a map or a journey. But you are not going to get to that treasure, if you like, unless you enter the game. And working with young people, we can we use a lot of gaming analogies. You know, you ain't going to win the prizes unless you get into the game. And I think that's with the sports metaphor as well. You've got to fail and you come back and learn. And
one of the things I love about that, and I was trying to articulate that, and you articulated far better than I ever could, is one of the human archetypes and one of the stories that we've had as Homo sapiens since we first set foot on this planet is the quest. And it's the foundation of every piece of classic literature, you know, from Tolkien through. Yet when we come to real life, we go, a journey, a quest, no, we don't do that. You know, we just go out there, get a job, and that's it, game over. Whereas everything about human activity is a map, it's a quest, it's, you know, it's trying different things, it's evolving, it's moving, it's changing. And then we give up when we talk about work, and it's just odd.
Yeah, it is odd, and I think if we think about work like that, as a quest or as a journey or moving through a landscape, then the things that we do, even if they fail, we've always learnt. And I think young people get that with the gaming analogy. You know, they'll run down a pathway, but in the process of doing that, they've collected some supplies, you know, a weapon or whatever.
Yeah.
They may have to come back again and start down another direction, but that wasn't wasted. That wasn't lost.
And they never feel like it. They never give up at that point. They then immediately go, oh, I know what I did wrong. Yeah. And they'll go for another 4 hours having another go at it.
And I suppose that's the essence of resilience, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, okay, so you dropped a ball, but it was a ball, it wasn't a bomb.
Yeah.
You know, and the ball bounces and you carry on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really odd that we don't seem to be able to translate that into the things that are really important.
Yeah, so I was just going to say there that that needs to be somehow recognised and celebrated so that should that happen, particularly with a young person. So if we're thinking about a crusty organisation that takes on a young person, embrace the change, but listen to somebody who, in my teenage daughter's opinion, is living in the real world, mum, like I'm not, but there you go.
Yeah.
So embrace that, listen to that young person, because they have played that game. But we should allow them to then show us what they learnt on the way and celebrate that. It's not about passing tests all of the time. I think you mentioned that earlier
absolutely.
As well, Neville.
It's never about passing tests, believe me.
No. The experiences are great, and experiences we should need to listen to all of the opinions. Again, in organisations, we can go to a leadership team and give them the space, I suppose, for them to share their opinions, to share their experiences, and then make the map for the future going forward.
Absolutely.
But it's not just about young people, is it?
No.
Everybody all the time is learning. I wrote a blog sometime last year called My 30-Year Apprenticeship. You know.
Brilliant.
Which is available on the Kent Business Radio website.
Yes,
isn't it?
Exactly. Yes. Which is all about learning things that went well, things that went badly, or, you know, not so good, and getting those put into your kit bag so that you've got that whole
absolutely
experience.
Yes.
The things with kids is you have to help them in a different way to get the stuff in early.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sort of going back to collaboration, because I know you want to go there, Paul, is that I had many, many years in education and stepped out of that quite late, if you like, into business and have thoroughly enjoyed being in a different world, being in a different environment. And I don't know whether Ali will endorse this, but I've been able to bring a different experience, a different understanding.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's, again, is where collaboration is fantastic.
That is
stepping over the borders.
It's why it's so important. Without being funny, you know, I had a proper job many years ago, worked in big corporates, and any big organisation, they always fail eventually because they collapse under their own inertia, because they become fixated on what they know as an organisation and what the organisation's culture is. And they don't allow outsiders in. They don't allow disruption. And big businesses are always eventually done in by disruptive small upstarts who don't understand their business and come in and change it. Mm. And they always go, oh, how did that happen? And it's because they don't expand their horizons and accept any new input. And that's why I think the spirit of collaboration now is going to make such a big difference to everybody, because less and less will you get fixed into these tram lines of doing the same things in the same way all the time. There is too many disintermediators and too many disruptors now for that to happen, which means that we have to collaborate. Listen, ladies, we could talk about this forever, but we're running right over time now. So give us a shout-out for how people can find out more about your lovely collaborative organisation and how they can get in contact with you and your Twitter handles and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, certainly. Well, you can find us on the web. Our webpage is www.redrocketassociates.com. Really straightforward and simple. And then on Twitter, you can find us. Our handle is @RedRocketWorks. And we're also on Facebook. So please look us up on there. And all of us individually, of course, on the lovely LinkedIn.
Absolutely. And all of those links are currently as well on the Kent Business Radio website.
Thank you.
Alison and Liz, thank you so much. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Welcome.
That's Alison and Liz from Red Rocket Associates.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no, it's an absolute pleasure. We're going to have a break now and we're going to play some tunage. Guess what I'm going to play?
Something I don't like.
No. We just talked to these ladies.
Oh, I know. Yes, Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
Woman.
Breathe light. 0 hour. 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a time as flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science I don't understand, it's just my job.